You're listening to the Broadway Vlogs podcast.
Hi, I'm your host, Claire. Join me as I take you behind the curtain of some of your favorite Broadway touring and regional shows. I'm here with Shanna Vanderwerker, one of my favorite humans. And you are currently a professor here at Columbia College Chicago, but you've done many other things.
I have.
How you been? How's this weird year been for you?
Oh, it's been... It's been something. Mm-hmm. It's been a never-ending year. It still feels like March 2020. So
right.
It's just gone constantly since then. And as hard as it was to sort of plunge yourself into the ice bath of pandemic life, just life in general, pandemic teaching, pandemic dancing, now that I've sort of found my rhythm with all of that, it's almost harder to think about, or it's just as hard to think about moving back into the way things moved before.
Right.
I don't want to use the phrase used to be. I want to say the way we moved together before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a little bit, it feels a little unsettling.
Yeah. Well, in this semester we've gotten to exist in a space together, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that was nice for you as well, because you weren't screaming at a computer.
Yes. Yeah, it was super helpful to have you all in person. And I feel like the school is being super cautious, as they should be, mm-hmm. to protect themselves and to protect you. But I've been teaching in other studios with a little bit more numbers of mm-hmm. people, and it's still safe. As long as everyone is being safe to get into the moment, I think, and being safe inside the moment, I think that it's comfort level of the individual human,
right.
But I think that we could have danced together a little bit more.
Sure.
Not sooner, but I think we could have danced together a little bit more in terms of like how many of us were together. It was a blessing to be able to offer you all asynchronous classes and have you mm-hmm. figure out how to learn from other people and those other videos that we did. I feel like that was, and it was great. I liked doing it for you all because it's stuff that I don't teach.
Yeah.
So I liked having the opportunity to open things up for you all. I'm very fortunate that I have amazing and talented friends, and again, grateful that we were in this pandemic, because it would have been a much more complicated matter to have people from New York and Atlanta come mm-hmm. in and work with all of you. So
yeah,
that was cool.
I want to talk about how you got into theater.
Okay.
And dancing. Where did your story start?
My story starts in Fort Washington, Maryland, back in the 20th century. I was put in a ballet class like every other three-year-old. And I was in ballet, and I was watching the other kids tap, and I said, Mommy, I want to take tap when I was 4. And then they were doing jazz, and I said, Mommy, I want to do jazz when I was 5. And I did ballet, tap, and jazz. And then when I was 8, my dance teacher in studio had a competitive company, but back then it was way different than it is now. It was so much different. And so I asked if I could audition for the company, which I did, and I started doing that when I was 9, and I was terrible. I was so bad. All I had were feet that pointed, and we didn't even know they pointed until she was stretching us, and my feet stayed on the floor, and she's like, why aren't you using your feet? I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to use them. I didn't start to find my dance legs and the actual talent until I was about 12 years old. Nah, not even then. I was still kind of terrible. I started to find it when I was like 15, when I started to really click into my musicality. But when I was 9, I remember watching Singing in the Rain on AMC with Gene Kelly and Sid Charisse. And I said, Mommy, I want to be her when I grow up, Sid Charisse. And I loved Gene Kelly. I had such a crush on him. He was so good. My dance teacher said, well, if you want to be Sid Charisse, you have to sing. And I was like, oh, no. So I took voice lessons, but I was the worst voice student because I took voice from my piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in and I'd say, Mrs. Rowe, I had ice cream. I can't sing today. So I'd play the piano for an hour. And then, it was almost paralyzing. As comfortable as I was working on dance and wanting to be better at dance, singing was paralyzing and petrifying. And then as I got older and I went into high school, and I thought, this is really what I want to do. I was really smart. I took a lot of honors classes at my Catholic school, Catholic high school. And my geometry teacher said, you want to be a dance major? And I was like, yeah. And she really poo-pooed that. So I thought, challenge accepted. I'm going to do this just to spite her. It's also a way that I work. And
I'm glad she said that. Now you're doing the thing. So
I know. Someday I'm going to be like, look at this, Mrs. Coffey. Look at this resume. But she, and so the only school I applied to was Point Park, because I really didn't want to go to college either, because a lot of the women from my dance studio that I looked up to, some of them did not go to college. They just went right on to like cruise ships, dancing for the Rockettes, which I would never be a Rockette, but they just kept, you know, they went on to do all of these things, and I thought, well, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, you are going to school. And I'm really glad she did, because had I gone to New York at 18, I would never have made it. Not at all. I grew up so much. I figured out who I was going to be as an adult in college. So I'm really glad and grateful that my mother was so strict and made me go. I graduated from Point Park in 3 years. So I did all the credits in 3 years. And in the moment, I was like, I just gotta get out, I just wanna do it. And in reflection, I feel like I wish I had stayed that extra year because I just don't, I learned a ton, and I feel like there was still a ton more to learn from my teachers. So I left college, I graduated from college in 2000, and then I, actually the summer of my second year of school, I got my professional debut as a Kid of the Kingdom at Walt Disney World, where I got my equity card, so I was able to graduate from college with my union card, which was really cool. But I went back to Disney after graduating, and then I was there until February of 2001, and then I moved up to New York. And yeah, that's how the journey kind of went. I was a dance major at Point Park, but I took my voice lessons. I did the vocal juries. They were terrifying. I hated them all.
I have tried very hard to not have to do those. And lucky for me, the first time I even ever did juries was a self-tape.
Yeah.
Pandemic life.
Yeah.
The next semester is going to be a different story.
Yeah, they're a lot. And you know, I was there as a dance major.
Right.
So my first one, I sang Candle on the Water from Pete's Dragon. And I said, I'm Shanna Vanderwerker and I'm a dance major. Thank you. And I cried, and I was not acting. I was just so terrified. And it was, you know, it was scary. And my whole career, but like early on, you know, I would go to these dance calls and I would get kept all the way to the end. I auditioned for Pittsburgh CLO, and back then the auditions were so long, and we were there all day on Saturday and then all day on Sunday, and the season was West Side Story, Crazy for You, and a couple other shows that I was right for. And I got all the way to the end, and the panel and the table was like, it was like 12 people across because
terrifying.
Of all of these shows that they were doing, and all the creators were there. And I walked in to sing my song, and the whole table was so excited because I had just killed the dance auditions, and they were just like literally like dominoes. They're like, ugh. And then the last one just like scribbled my name. I was like, cool. So I have a very tense relationship with singing. But, you know, you got to do it. You got to sing, just like you got to dance as a singer. You got to do it. And, yep, which was why Disney was a great place for me. But I knew I wanted more. I knew I wanted to do more things. And I'm really grateful that my boyfriend at the time was like, we want to do more. I know you want to do more. So we're going to leave. And we're going to New York. And I didn't work for my first year in New York. However, in that time, I got connected with Christopher Gattelli, and yeah, he kind of took me under his wing.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Speaking of Christopher Catelli, you have a lot of credits with him, a lot of assistant choreo credits with him. What was it like getting to work with him and kind of having him as your mentor?
Well, he's an amazing choreographer and director and storyteller, But more than all of that, he's an even more amazing human being. Mm-hmm. He is so generous and so loving. He's more of my big brother than anything right now. But when I met him, I had just moved to New York, and I ran into a girl, well, woman now, that I had done dance competitions with growing up. Mm-hmm. And I ran into her on the street. She said, "Oh my God, you live here now?" And I said, "Yeah, I just got here. Who knows when?" And she said, "Well, I'm doing this. I do these instructional videos. They're on VHS. You can't even watch it now because they're on VHS." Bob Rizzo, who was a huge jazz teacher in the 90s and into the early 2000s, he then started the New York City Dance Alliance convention. Mm-hmm. He used to put out these instructional videos. And we were doing theater dance with Christopher Catelli. Mm-hmm. And back then, Christopher had just started working on the Rosie O'Donnell show. He was still in Fosse. And I also knew Christopher from competition days, from when I was little. Mm-hmm. I looked up to him so much. And I was stretching and I stood up and he was like, "Hi, I'm Christopher." And I said, "Hi, I'm Shanna." And he said, "I know who you are." And I was like, "There's no way, because I literally just moved here." And he was like, "Nope. Miss Dance, 1996, New York City, named my song, described my costume." And I was like, "That's my sister. She didn't do the same song, which she did, same artist, 2 years later." And he said, "Nope, it was you. I remember your dance. I was in the back of the ballroom. I remember watching you when you were captivating." And I was like, "Wow, thank you. Thank you." And so did this little video for a free leotard, about $200 and a free pair of character heels, not fancy ones, but they did get me through the first 10 years of my auditions. And then he said, "Oh, I'm doing the opening number for Broadway Cares, Easter Bonnet, starring Rosie O'Donnell. Do you want to help me out on it?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course. Like, I'm going to say no." And he credited me as his assistant on that, and I got to perform, which was really cool. So I performed in the New Amsterdam Theater. And then from there, he said, "Oh, I'm doing this project, and then I'm doing this project." And so he, you know, as he grew, his assistants started to grow. And then Altar Boys came up, and he was switching out assistants. And literally 2 days before I called him to say, "I just booked Wicked," he was like, he was talking to the director. I had just done a project with them somewhere else, and they said, the director, was Stafford Arima, said, "Why don't we get Shanna to assist on Altar Boys?" And Chris was like, "She just booked Wicked." So
that's a sad
thing. Yeah, but he came to see me in the show. He cried with me. You know, he's always been there for me. He's how I met Justin. When we were working on High Fidelity, Christopher was like, that one. I said, "No." And he's like, that one. So, you know, he's been family. And he's always told me, you know, that you're in the meantime, right? Mm-hmm. When I was frustrated and I was going years without work, he's like, "This is your meantime. It's okay. Something's gonna happen. So he's just the best.
Okay, so you mentioned this little show called Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, getting to work on that show? Because you worked on that show for quite a while.
I did. So my experience, I think, is, I mean, everyone's experience is unique, right? Mm-hmm. But I think mine is even more unique, because the first time, so I have at least a dozen contracts for my time at Broadway. Because I was constantly going in to fill in for people. And I went in within the first year, so they were just sort of figuring out their vacation swing system. And when I first went in, I had auditioned for Wayne for Aida, then I auditioned for Wicked, didn't have the vocals back then. And then I kept getting called in. And what I loved about auditioning for Wayne is that he didn't look at your resumes. He didn't care. He looked at your dancing first. So you'd go in, you'd dance your face off, and then he would say, okay, you and you and you come back in an hour. The rest of you, thank you so much. And then after that, then he would look at who you were. Mm-hmm. So he knew who I was based solely on my dancing.
Yeah.
Which is so unique.
Yeah.
And then when I did get into the show, finally, they called, because I had been in the final call run for when they cast the first national, and the same time they were casting a bunch of replacements on Broadway, because all of the originals were going to go do Sweet Charity. Mm-hmm. Not all, but a lot of them. So they had all these spots open up.
Yeah.
And then I get a call that said, hey, can you come in and try on some clothes? And I was like, yeah. for an immediate replacement, and I was like, yep. Sure can. So it was for the onstage swing, who was like your height, just a tiny little thing, and she had just gotten injured. Mm-hmm. So I had to put on her clothes, and they fit around, but the length was too short, so I pulled my arms in and bent my knees. And there were two other women that were also brought in to try on the clothes, and then we had to go upstairs and sing for Alex Lockamore, who mm-hmm. was the associate music director, because Stephen Aremus was still the music director.
Right.
So I go in, I sing my little 16 bars, and he said, great, that was so great, Jana. I need you to sing the solo at the top of Act 2. And I was like, okay. I literally laughed at him. The Terrible Green Blizzard, you belt the E-flat or you mix it. Mm-hmm. I had neither one of those things, neither. So I physically pushed it out of my diaphragm, and I was like, can I do that again? And I pushed it again. And you know, he's like, that's great. I hear it's great. It's great. And I was like, oh, I'm so not getting this. And then, you know, come to find out later that the women in the dressing room I had known from growing up in competitions, mm-hmm. the audition circuit. And it's not all about who you know. It's about who you are. Mm-hmm. Right? Because everybody knows everybody at that point.
Right.
And those women in that dressing room, I mean, not like they really had a lot to say, but they did say to the dance captain at the time, they're like, oh, Shanna's she's a really good person, she's really sweet, da da da. Because, you know, at that point, it's literally Macintosh versus Gala Apples, right? Like, yeah. You're all on the same level. Mm-hmm. So what's going to be the clincher in that moment? Mm-hmm. So that was a Friday. I didn't hear anything Saturday. I didn't hear anything Sunday. I was like, I'm not getting it. I'm gonna be sad for a day and then I'm gonna move on with my life. It was Martin Luther King Day and I was having my sadness, and the company manager called at like 7 o'clock Monday night and said, can you start rehearsal tomorrow? So I did, and I learned my first track in 4 days, and that was a 3-week cover. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, can you come in and learn the Center Monkey Flying at half hour before half hour? Like training me to fly in 30 minutes and launch myself off the odds head and spin around and come back down. And what am I gonna do, say no? I'm not gonna say no.
Right.
So, you know, I learned that. And then 3 weeks was over, done. Then they called me 2 weeks later, said, oh, so-and-so is going on vacation. Can you come in and learn her track? Yep, okay.
Yep.
So I would learn tracks kind of as needed and mm-hmm. very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then one of the dancer tracks had a really severe injury and she was out for a long chunk of time. So that was kind of my longer stint there. I think I was there for 9 months at that point. And within that time, Shoshana was singing Wizard and I, and the stage manager comes up to me and is like, hey, can you go to Denver in the morning? I was like, do I have a choice? And he said, not really. We need you in Denver tomorrow morning. And I was like, well, then I guess I'm going to Denver tomorrow morning. So I flew to Denver Friday morning, learned a whole new track, whole different show, because Broadway is raked, tour is not.
Must Broadway. Have flown through that. Getting not being on such a rake stage.
It's like I was dancing so hard. Like, why? Plus I'm in Denver with the altitude.
Right.
They're down a track on tour. plus when they reset it, they like tweaked a couple things in mm-hmm. the choreography, did that track for the weekend and then flew home and then popped back into my regular track. Mm-hmm. So I showed them that I could learn and I was quick and flexible. And then nothing for like a year and a half, nothing. And then they called out of the blue and said, I was ready to quit too. I was ready to quit the business. Mm-hmm. I just had an interview for a normal job. And they called, Craig Burns called and said, Shanna, are you interested in going out to Dance Captain, the first national tour? And I was like, are you calling the right person? You can ask him that. I literally said that to him. He won't remember.
I'll text him later.
He won't remember it, but I really asked him that. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, no, but I haven't heard from anyone in a year and a half. He's like, no, it's you. And there were two other women that they were also kind of feeling out. I was supposed to leave within 4 weeks of that phone call. And 2 weeks had gone by, and I was like, hey, do you know if I'm going? Because I have literally five jobs right now.
Right.
That I need to say yes or no to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that happened. And I danced captain the first national for just under 5 years.
I could never. Well, I'm glad that you were in that little small show. I hope they do well. If you've been watching the vlogs for a while, we had your hubby on, like, my freshman year here. But he was also in Wicked, played Bach in the first national. Mm-hmm. First national. It's fun to hear about people who meet their spouses through the theater. And so I'm wondering what it was like to get to... I know you didn't meet him through Wicked.
Correct.
But you got to work with him, like, a lot, actually.
I did.
What's it like to see him all the time?
Well, we met on High Fidelity, but I think what's really fun about our kind of origin story is that, well, I was at Point Park, he was at Carnegie Mellon. Mm-hmm. And he is from Annapolis, and I'm from Fort Washington. So it's like our path, and his dance teacher knew my dance teacher growing up. So like our paths kind of ran parallel to each other for a really long time. And there were like that Pittsburgh CLO season that I auditioned for, he got it. He was in those shows. So like our paths kept going like this, mm-hmm. and they just was never the right time. And you know, we had been at a couple, I think we had tracked that we were at a Halloween party together. That I was dancing for a drag queen in a bar at Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Love that for you.
Yes, for a very good friend of mine in Times Square. And Justin was at the party dressed, he was in Rent at the time, and he was dressed as a Rent head. And I specifically remember, I don't remember his face, but I remember the two Rent heads because he won the costume contest. And I remember the Rent heads with the drag queen after we had performed talking, and then when we were talking about like the paths that we had taken and stuff, he was like, I remember you from that party. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's super weird. But so we met, so the time was right for High Fidelity, you know, and I resisted it at first, and like I said, Christopher said, that's the one. And then once the show had opened and then closed, because it was open and closed, we were dating, and then he booked Spamalot in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So we were very, very new when he went out to do that contract. And then getting to work together on Wicked was fun because I put him into the show, and he came in as an ensemble member and mm-hmm. then moved up to Bach. And it was really fun. It was hard because you were literally together all the time.
Yeah.
The good thing for me is that my job as dance captain was constantly changing. I always had someone new to teach, and when I would swing, it was always, like, I was not on a lot because mm-hmm. as a dance captain, I'm like the last person they put on stage. So you know it's bad when I end up on stage. You're down a lot of swings when Shanna ends up on stage. So we didn't get to perform together a lot, but those times that we did, it was really fun, and it was mm-hmm. fun to kind of watch him, you know, play that part and watch him, and to play Bach for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time in one role. Like, again, for me, 4.5 years went by like this.
Right.
Because I taught that show 500 times.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know what day it was, whereas he's doing the same thing every day. Different Nessas, different Glendas. Yes.
Yeah.
So to watch him kind of navigate that as not only a dance captain, but also as his partner, mm-hmm. was interesting and educational. Also sometimes frustrating because, you know, as he said in one moment, he's like, we're artists. We're not really supposed, like, if I wanted to do something, the same thing all the time, I would have not been a performer. Mm-hmm. And then he would snap out of it, and he was like, it's my responsibility to make this fresh, right? So we all go through those highs and lows. So mm-hmm. watching him kind of navigate that, especially when you're in your early 30s, mm-hmm. you know, it was a lot. But I'm super grateful, because we also got to go to Hawaii together, and mm-hmm. Denver, and Seattle, and all of these, like, all the great, New Orleans, all the great places in between, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love them, the Vanderbilts. Okay, so now we're gonna pop over to Chicago, because you've done quite a lot of choreography here. Working with Christopher Gattelli and getting to do that, I'm sure, helped a bit with
being
a choreographer. Was that change of you being like the head choreographer on certain shows? Was that different? Was that difficult?
Yes.
Or were you just like, I got this?
No, I was not. I was not. I never wanted to be a choreographer, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. I never wanted to be a choreographer. I love fixing and problem solving and helping. Mm-hmm. And when the show that I did for Christopher that prepared me the best for taking things on my own was Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. He was in like triple duty when we set the show for Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then he was in triple duty when we did it a year later for Broadway. So I was setting all of his work without him there. So like we had meetings every single night. We talked about it. We mapped it out. We did pre-pro together. I knew what he wanted, and I knew exactly what his vision was. Mm-hmm. But I still had to do it by myself, and I had to navigate the producers and the actors, and I had to navigate actor insecurities because I didn't have a group of dancers. I had these were solid actors, singers, mm-hmm. right, who were very insecure in their movement, and I say that in case any of them are watching. I say that because they didn't, like I say to you all as my students, they didn't know how much they could do mm-hmm. until somebody told them.
Right.
So I had to get them through all of that. I had to help them with all of that. So that kind of, plus teaching Wicked, like setting Wicked is, you know, they are sent to us, right? It's me and the production stage manager and the other dance captain, and we teach everybody the show. So I would also get people that would come to me before the first day of rehearsal, and they're like, I'm not a dancer. I'm like, well, you must have done something right, because you're here. So you're gonna do it, and it's gonna be great, and we're gonna get you there. So navigating those different personalities, I think, really helped me. But I didn't want to do it. And then my director at the Fireside said, Shanna, I want you to choreograph Singing in the Rain. And I was like, what? He said, you can do it. You've been assisting on Broadway for however many years. Mm-hmm. I know you can do this. You got this. And I was like, okay, if you say so. But he's always been that way with me, this director. He was the one that told me, you're gonna sing a solo line, back when I did Seven Brides for him. And he said, you can do this. Mm-hmm. He's been one of the very few people that have always been in my corner saying, you can do it, when everyone else was like, you can't do that. So he told me I could do it, and I was like, well, I guess I'm gonna do it. And the Fireside is crazy. It's wonderful, but it's also crazy because I have to set a whole show in 8 days.
Right.
A whole show, and in the round.
Yeah.
On a postage stamp. And the Singing in the Rain stage was even smaller because we built the deck up to make rain gutters.
Rain thing. Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with, I think where it's usually like 13 by 13, I was dealing with like 12 by 12. So I've got 12 men jumping around on a stamp. But it's great because it makes me think fast. It makes me, it challenges me to shift perspectives and everything. And Ed was great. He told me, he would say, that looks great, that doesn't look great, mm-hmm. And sort of guided me and helped me find, he really helped me in that first like year of choreographing, find my voice mm-hmm. and find my like style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love your choreographic style.
Oh, thank you.
I'll say that. And now you're teaching. And what is that like? I mean, I guess you've technically been teaching for a while, just in a different sense.
Yes.
You also taught at Roosevelt for a bit.
I did.
And you teach classes in Chicago on Thursdays and Fridays now. What is it like getting to work with young students?
I really love it. I really love watching, I love watching your journey. Today, watching someone in the level two class who's graduating, and I've had her for the 2 years that I've been here, and watching and really recognizing her growth from September of 2019 to mm-hmm. now. I love seeing that, and I love helping you all find your dance voices, mm-hmm. right? It's also challenging because we've got all of these other logistics of like grades and papers and this, and I'm just like, but it's a dance class. But we have to do it because of school.
Right.
So that stuff is challenging, and dealing with administrative stuff.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it, and I have had a lot of my Roosevelt students, like, to watch them go on and start to shape their professional careers is really cool. Just to see how, how one little thing I can say and just shift your perspective, how it can just open the world to you is mm-hmm. really rewarding.
Yeah. I have those moments like daily, so. Well, I am very glad that that was your journey, all the hard parts and the fun parts and the good parts, and I'm glad that you're my teacher. I think that you're, as a teacher, you do really well when it comes to getting us ready for the real world.
I hope so. I mean, I don't even know what the real world is right now, Who knows? But I think it's, not to cut you off, but I think that's something that is really cool for all of you mm-hmm. is that once you all have your toolbox packed and ready, you can make it whatever you want it to be.
Right.
You're going to shape it, right?
Yeah.
My generation is going to support it, but you're going to shape it. So making sure that you do have a full toolbox is my responsibility.
Right.
So I'm hoping that I'm giving you enough gadgets and gizmos in there to get you out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Soapbox moments, every class. But I enjoy them.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad your roommate does.
Do you have anything else that you want to add to for the viewers? Or
I don't know. I mean, is there something, like a fun fact? I don't know. What do y'all like to know? I think I'm quite boring.
I think you are the complete opposite of that, Shanna. I don't know. Do you have any tips for the younger students, especially like people my age or college, high school, for continuing their journey when maybe you don't have a teacher like you to exist in our lives and make our lives that much better?
I think I was listening, soapbox, oh my God, I'm gonna get on my soapbox. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, and they were interviewing this artist, and he's an artist by profession. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, being an artist, everyone is an artist of some sort, mm-hmm. but if you're gonna make being an artist your job, the key word is to know that it's a job, right? Art is art, but there is the business of art, and so it's a business. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, and what he was saying in this is that you still gotta work, Like, you can't just sit around waiting for lightning bolts to strike you in the forehead and be like, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to do it. I'm going to nail this. Like, I can't expect a lightning bolt to smack me in the head and I'm going to sing like Shoshana.
Right.
No. You know, it's you. I have to put in the work. So we all have to keep doing the work. And I think that that is something that, and I took that, you know, I lost sight of that in my 20s as well. I got frustrated with singing, so I didn't work on it, and I didn't get the job because I literally had people say to me, you're such a great dancer. Thanks. Like, okay. Like, I can't even sing Bushel and a Peck for you? Okay. So, you know, it's knowing that this is a business. The business is going to change, it's going to grow, and it's going to evolve, but at the end of the day, it's still a business.
Right.
And business requires work. And if you want to do, if you want to make money, don't do live theater, because you can't, I mean, even the most successful people, in especially here in Chicago, Gene Wingant has a side hustle. Like, every single one of these people, Barbara Robertson, who teaches here, she teaches here. She's an icon.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, you have to keep, you have to keep those wheels working. You have to keep them greased. So don't stop training. Don't ever get comfortable. If you're comfortable, challenge yourself, right? Like, okay, what can I do?
Yeah.
How can I, and it, we talk about it in my class too, like, if your plié is comfortable, how can you alter that plié so you can find something new, right? So I think that's the most important thing to remember as you go out to shape this business. It's still a business, so know that it's gonna be work.
Right. And steps off the soapbox.
With the curtsy.
With the curtsy. Well, thank you for sitting down and chatting with me. I will put all of your social medias and savvy and all of that fun stuff in a link in the bio. I say link in the bio. In the little whatever the YouTubers say. And I'll throw down some visceral and intrigue stuff down too.
Awesome.
If people are interested. And dancing with the Shannon Vanderwerf.